This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Monday morning, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard, everybody. MP on the mic. We're here to bring you 5 hours live and local from Richmond, Virginia. We'll hand off to AWOD Radio at noon. He's down at Capitol Ale House, as he is. He'll give you the Super Bowl recap from his perspective. Grant and Danny drive you home from the beautiful city of Washington, D.C., home of the second-best team in the NFL by the transitive property this season. We were at the end of Bud Light Big Game Week last week. I was chatting with some of the D.C. crew, and we all agreed the worst possible Super Bowl outcome for us in this show and this interest level today in the region would be an Eagles win. Not that everybody's pulling for the Chiefs, because certainly we know a lot of you weren't, but you got a lot of really good sports radio talking points off of that, right? You always, is this, you know, Mahomes versus Brady, you know, dynasties, three-peats, 72 Dolphins, 60s Green Bay Packers. There's a lot of directions you can take that. The Eagles, who were the better team by far yesterday, obviously, was not particularly close. The Eagles, we don't like to see the Eagles have nice things. Now, I know there's a few of you Eagles fans out there, but most of you are Commanders fans. You definitely don't like seeing the Eagles have success. And Cowboys fans, who the Cowboys fans I know also do not like seeing the Eagles have success. So you got a team that's very unpopular locally, a game that seemed to lack some juice. Commercials weren't great. Kendrick Lamar was fine. We'll get to all that as the show goes on. So here's what we'll do. We're going to celebrate VCU on a Victory Monday, because that Friday night win at Dayton was, I think, something special, even considering Dayton's propensity to do that over and over again, to step on the rake or stub its toe, or however you want to put that. We'll get to that. That's an important Victory Monday here for the VCU Rams as we turn the page to basketball over the next few weeks, which we always do. But also last week on Radio Row, we recorded some interviews that you didn't hear because we didn't have time for everybody who rolled by to get them on the air. And so we have some other interviews that are a little more forward-looking, a little more Commanders-looking that I think you'll enjoy hearing. Matthew Paris of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. The Saints, of course, are going to hire Kellen Moore this morning, the Eagles offensive coordinator, to be their coach. So we talked with Matt about that. So we got some good leftovers. We'll warm up some leftovers from Bud Light Big Game Week, but I think you'll enjoy these interviews. I mentioned the halftime. So I didn't know the backstory with Serena Williams. I read that. I was like, oh, man. Like, this dude, Kendrick Lamar, used the Super Bowl halftime show to continue to settle a long-running rap feud. This feels like the Biggie and Tupac kind of stuff. This definitely feels like this is going to end really poorly for somebody. You're bringing out the dude that this guy had a crush on to come dance with you at the Super Bowl halftime show. That is not going to end spectacularly well for anybody. Least of all, Drake, for sure, who took another one on the chin last night during the most watched television program of the year. It wasn't, and I'll admit, I'm not a Kendrick Lamar guy, obviously. I thought he was good. I thought he performed well. I thought everything was on point. It didn't rise to the level of iconic for me, which was the same way I felt after Rihanna. A very good halftime show. They're not going to do bad halftime shows again, guys. They're just not. There's too much on the line. There's too many people involved. If you're talking about your elite, top 10 level, I'll remember this for the rest of my life halftime show. It wasn't one of those. It was a good halftime show. It was, I think the most iconic recent one we've got right now is the Dr. Dre LA halftime show. Not every year's gonna be that. Not every year can be that. It doesn't mean that it wasn't a good show. Just didn't hit iconic in my eyes. Honestly, I liked Beyonce's Christmas Day halftime better. If I'm turning in my card, turning in my rankings, I thought she was fantastic. She could do a Super Bowl halftime anytime she wants in my book. That was the halftime recap. I didn't think the rest of the broadcast was particularly compelling. Y'all. Tom Brady was bad yesterday. That's unfair. Tom Brady was fine yesterday. You can't be fine at a Super Bowl. That's a situation that calls for more than that. The whole world's watching. Everybody's watching. And he didn't elevate his game. He didn't elevate his announcing game. That's the end of the first season for Tom Brady. That's a rough first season for Tom Brady. He's got to get back in the lab. He's got the football knowledge. He's not giving it to us. He is not able to process all the information they're throwing at him, which is kind of funny because, he was so good at that as a player. He's going to have to learn to slow the announcing game down because he bit on a couple times where, he shouldn't have bit on the field, the situation. He didn't explain. I didn't hear him say once why the Eagles defense was having success. Patrick Mahomes. Patrick can't make that throw right there. Okay, what did the Eagles do? What is going on with the Chiefs offensive line? I need you to teach me some football here. You're Tom Brady. That's awesome. I love watching you throw passes to Gronk. Gronk's funny. But when it's game time, when we're playing the most important game of the year, I need you to explain it to me. I need you to break it down for me. And I felt like Tom Brady did not clear that bar last night. He didn't make me smarter about football. Chris Collinsworth makes me smarter about football. Greg Olson makes me smarter about football. Troy Aikman gets me inside the head of the quarterback every week. What he's doing, what he's thinking. And Tony Romo gets me excited about the game. I don't think Tony Romo makes me smarter on a weekly basis, but I have fun. Feels like I'm at a party with a cool guy. I like hanging out with him. I like our 3 hours we spend together on Sundays. I don't get any of those vibes from Tom Brady. I don't get the sense he's particularly enjoying being there. And that's something Fox is going to have to look into because these are too important. These are tentpole events. I was also very surprised. It didn't end up mattering because we all tuned it out early. But they didn't use the post Super Bowl slot to do a new show or anything big and spectacular. They ran a game show after the Super Bowl, The Floor, which, hey, if that's your best show, ride with it. But I thought it was kind of a miss from the Fox team. They had the Lady Gaga thing. That was cool. I know AWOD was down at that earlier this week watching that happen, which kudos to them for getting all those people. He had said Lady Gaga's performing at 3 a.m. down on Bourbon Street. And hey, look, I'm too old, but go have fun. I can't stay up till 3 a.m., then watch Lady Gaga, then come back, then come in, then do my radio show the next morning. But have fun. It sounds really cool. But I didn't realize, man, Terry Bradshaw was there. Roger Goodell was there. All these people are like, how are they awake at 3 a.m? They're putting in the work here. Because I'm going to guess Terry Bradshaw's not a 3 a.m. guy normally. I'm going to guess he used to be back in the day, but probably not anymore. I mentioned, you know, why did the Eagles win? You know, the Chiefs two, let's do Chiefs first. The Chiefs two Super Bowl losses are both on the offensive line. The offensive line did not hold up in either. The stat you need to know last night is that Philadelphia called zero blitzes. They brought additional pressure zero times. Didn't matter. They got to Patrick Mahomes every single time. Four rushers, five offensive linemen. The numbers add up for the Chiefs, and yet he was running for his life every single time. Didn't trust the protection. That's it. That's the game right there. Because when you rush four against five offensive linemen and one quarterback, you've got numbers in the backside, too. Your receivers aren't going to be open, and you got guys floating, Cooper DeJean with the interception. That's where this game was lost for the Chiefs. I'll mention they were bad on defense as well, and I'll mention that they were bad on special teams as well. Their punter was not good either. So, full team effort when you lose like that. You know, final score, I guess 40-22 doesn't really encapsulate this in any way, but it has to be a full team effort. You can't just have one unit let you down when you lose that badly in a Super Bowl. For the Eagles, we talked about this all last week. That is just a silly, well-constructed football team. They self-evaluate better than anybody else. They find their weaknesses. They aggressively attack them in the draft, in free agency. They knew corner was an issue. They bring in two of the game's best young corners, and now they're shutting teams down. They go out, get aggressive, get Saquon. It's a really well-constructed football team. They made the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. They tore it down to the studs. They rebuilt it. They're back at the Super Bowl, two Super Bowls now, one Super Bowl win. Like them or not, grease up the poles because they are going to be good for a while because of the general manager. Now, here's your optimism, Commanders fans. Here's your optimism. Because, you know, you look at these last few Super Bowl teams, because they are so sound personnel-wise, I think you say now, the general manager is more important than the coach in the NFL at this moment. Not to diminish the importance of coaching. We've seen what bad coaching does to a team. But I think the general manager right now in the NFL is a more important position than head coach. And this is no shade on Dan Quinn. This isn't even about Dan Quinn. But who's the smartest person in the building in Washington? I really think it's Adam Peters. I think he's great at what he does. I think he's built a phenomenal roster with a little bit of duct tape and some rubber cement last year. I think he's got resources. I think he's going to build a great roster this offseason. I think in the NFL right now, you really want a good general manager. And I think we've got one. I think that's the optimism going forward, right? What's the downside? They're going to be playing some tough games. Do you do Commanders-Eagles on Thursday night for the opener? It's a juicy game. It's certainly not unthinkable that that's the pick when they turn in the card. Both Commanders-Eagles games are going to be prime time. You're looking at Thanksgiving. Are you going to Madrid to play the Dolphins? You might be. It's an exciting team now. This is going to be a different season than we're used to with expectations. But 2025 starts now. The Commanders have the 7th best odds in Las Vegas to win the Super Bowl next year. That doesn't mean they will. Doesn't mean they'll get there. But man, 7th is the highest this team has debuted in a really long time. We're off and running. It's the Monday show. We'll talk VCU hoops. We'll share a little bit of Bud Light Big Game Week with you. We'll do it all on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, Monday morning. Victory Monday for VCU. Were there any other games this weekend? Yeah, the Caps played. Lost 5-4 in the shootout to Utah. But lots of good momentum for the Caps right now. Lost a couple against the West Coast best because they lost to Winnipeg the other day. We didn't have time to cover that one because we were at Bud Light Big Game Week, of course. But the Alex Ovechkin quest for history, the great chase, as they are branding it, rolls on. And that thing's just going to snowball in excitement. My best guess right now, I know some people are saying like, he'll get it in the last game or the next to last game. A reminder, playoff goals do not count for Alex Ovechkin in his chase to become the greatest goal scorer of all time. The playoff goals do not count. So I think there's a very real chance they finish the regular season. And by the way, right now they're the one seed in the playoffs. I think there's a very real chance they finish the regular season. He's two or three goals away from catching Wayne Gretzky. And we put the thing on pause for the playoffs for a little while. And we got to come back and get it at the start of next year, which is certainly a fascinating outcome because hockey has the spotlight there in that playoff time, does not have the spotlight in the fall when they start. I mean, you think about it, he could be setting the record on a day where Jaden Daniels is playing, for instance. And I know which one I'm going to talk about. It's going to make a lot of people mad. We'll make time for both, obviously. That's truly one of the greatest moments in the history of the sport. So that's the moment then. But I think the NHL would love it if he could find a way to get across the finish line before the regular season ends, build the excitement, get the record, go into the playoffs with the sport having a lot of momentum, with the team having a lot of momentum, just with that, with all the buzz that's going to surround that, I think that would be very good for the NHL, which, of course, has always fought for its spotlight. Not as successfully as the NBA, which found a way to steal the Super Bowl spotlight last week. That was hilarious. We were down there, obviously, in New Orleans, where we had a great time all week at Bud Light Big Game Week. We were in a little Odyssey cluster of our Odyssey stations around the country, and the Fan Dallas was right next to us. That's, of course, the station Jerry Jones goes on to make sure he makes headlines each week. But they were probably 50% Super Bowl Cowboys talk, 50% Mavericks-Lakers trade. They went to kind of a basketball format from the Super Bowl, which was fascinating to see. That some things can actually nip into the Super Bowl's popularity. That's LeBron adjacent, so I think that's probably helpful too. But a good week for the NBA out there on the publicity. Our friends at 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. were right next to us on the other side. Grant Paulson was there. We had a great time with him. Grant and Danny, of course, 3 to 6 today. AWOD Radio comes your way noon to 3 as he breaks down all that and I'm sure shares some stories. I'm going to save the trash can story for tomorrow because I want to get to VCU. By the way, tomorrow may be a snow day, so that's okay. The children, I think, had 5 consecutive days of school last week, so we're going to need a breather from that. I know that was a lot for everybody. We'll find a way to get them out of school for a couple days. But my guy Sean Sublett, the Richmonder meteorologist, he says 3 inches, 2 to 3 inches. He says 2 to 4 inches. He says the weather service says 3 to 5 inches. He says we're just quibbling over details. We both agree it's going to snow. So that's our guy, Sean Sublett at the Richmonder, richmonder.org. I'll give the plug for him. That's my outlet, of course. So full disclosure. But he knows his stuff. We're never educating the children again. That's the takeaway here. We'll see you out on the sledding hills tomorrow. But I do want to tell the trash can story. It's up. I've now taken enough time. I could have just told the trash can story. I think the trash can story merits a full segment. You've heard of Kendrick Lamar and Drake. They've got beef. I've got beef now with, Philadelphia Podcast Sports. So we'll get into that. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll reach out, see if we can get them on, something like that. Another exciting show announcement, Tuesdays with Trey returns tomorrow. Trey Wilson, of course, the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, rejoins this program tomorrow, which I am excited about. He came by every Tuesday during baseball season. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you just said it's going to snow tomorrow. What's Trey Wilson doing dropping by? He's off to spring training. With the Giants very, very soon here. This is baseball season. Pitchers and catchers about to report later this week. So it is time to fire it back up. Nutsy's block party on March 1st. All those good things. So Trey Wilson will rejoin us for his weekly segment. Always a thrill to have him on doing his thing. But I did want to dive into VCU basketball here, so I will dive into VCU basketball here. Because I think this was not just a statement win, but the way they did it, who they did it against, that they did it on national TV, all of those things matter. First off, the net ranking, they're in the 30s now. VCU has cracked the 30s. That means they'll make the tournament. Doesn't mean their final ranking will be in the 30s, but if they can protect that rating, they're going to make the NCAA tournament. Now, we don't take things for granted. Case in point, Dayton, which turned the corner out of the non-conference as the only sure thing tournament team in the A-10, and now we ask ourselves, what in the world is going on in Dayton? Because that is a legitimately talented team, and they, for whatever reason, they cannot hold a lead this year. They've struggled at times. They've gotten run off the floor. G-Dub, in their G-Dub loss, UMass got them, who they had no business doing that. They finally seem to get things turned the right direction. They're up 5 with 5 to go. And then VCU goes on its 12-0 run. What in the world is going on at Dayton? They're now on the wrong side of the bubble. So that's fascinating. They're still coming to the Siegel Center. Obviously, a chance to get a statement win there. But for VCU, that was exactly what they needed down the stretch. I love that it was the veterans who stepped up, made things happen in crunch time. Great game for Zeb Jackson. Great game for Max Shulga. Shulga played 38 minutes, and it's time. It's time for him to start rolling. His shooting has been fine this year, but his contributions to the game have been off the charts. And that is exactly what they needed down the stretch against Dayton. For Zeb Jackson, his shooting was bad, 2 for 11 from the field. But he got himself to the line. He made 13 free throws, including down the stretch. That every time Dayton threatened to make it a game, they made their free throws coming back. And that was so important in this one. Zeb Jackson, 13 of 14 from the free throw line, because Dayton got it to 3 there in those last in that last stretch, that last little bit. Zeb Jackson coming through at the free throw line. Don't sleep on the importance of those shots. Certainly great to see a VCU team that doesn't rely on the three-pointer, that is able to win on a night where they're not hitting from three. And this was a rock fight of a game. VCU shooting 36%, Dayton shooting 37%. That's from the field, not from three. This was an absolute rock fight of a basketball game, back and forth. VCU showing it can play that style too. They can setting the defense even when they don't make the shots. We've talked about the importance of that. Plenty more on VCU in hour number two, but what you need to know is big road win at Dayton. Veterans stepped up. Build the momentum from here. Just one game this week. Chance to refresh, recharge, get healthy for a great stretch run. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Reliving the best of Bud Light Big Game Week last week. Will Anderson from the Houston Texans dropped by.
He was a little late for our Friday show, so he ended up on AWOD Radio, but I want to play it for you now because this was a fantastic interview.
From the Houston Texans, we got Will Anderson Jr. Will, what's up, man?
What's up? How y'all doing? Thank y'all for having me.
All absolutely. Right. We're the Commander's Station, and here's what I want to get your insight on. Yeah. You guys were the team last year.
Yep.
And you came back this year, and you had a successful season. You had a playoff win. But I know in every game you played, you felt that. Everybody knew you were coming. Yep. And that's Jaden Daniels next year in Washington. What's that like? What's that transition like going from being, hey, we're shocking the world, this is a lot of fun, to we're getting everybody's best shots. They know we're contenders.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't look at it that way, then you'll be good. But I feel like once you start looking at it that way, then that's when, like, all types of stuff happen. I think for them, it's just, man, like, that's something, like, I tried to do a really good job of is, man, making sure, like, every week is going to be a challenge. Every team is going to be good no matter what their record is. So it doesn't matter, like, where you are, what your record is, who you are. It's the NFL. This is what you dream of as a kid, going against all these great teams, which have great players that get paid just like you, man. So if they could just keep the mindset, it's like, bro, like, it doesn't matter. Like, every week is going to be a challenge. It'll be just fine.
You guys had the Christmas game. You guys had those big spotlight game. What was that stretch like for you?
Ooh, it was different. It was fun though. You know what I'm saying? I don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? it made us see what type of team that we really had, man. And we went against a lot of great competition. And we built together as a team. Like, we know what to expect if we have something else like that. And that's what I'm saying, man. This is a process. You have to love the process. You have to enjoy this process, man. And really, like, making sure that you're doing everything you can to make sure that your process is great.
Did you get to see Beyonce? Did you get to
– No, I didn't get to see Beyonce.
Not yet.
Not yet. I didn't get to see her, man. We were too locked in.
Next time.
You heard her, though.
Joined by Will Anderson, Jr. I'm Adam Epstein here with Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I want you to explain to my audience the difference of a perspective when you're a pass rusher, when you know it's an obvious passing down rather than like a first or a second down.
Yeah, most definitely. It's in our front, we run an attack front, so it's a little different. Like, in our front, almost every down is third down because the way we play our brand of football. Like, coach always said, get in the track stands, get in the three-point stands, get in your pass rush stands, and get off the ball and go attack. But the more keys is just the offensive linemen. The offensive linemen kind of give it away when they're in the two-point stands. A lot of offensive linemen, they put their back foot back, you know, so they can be able to kick step and get out of there. And then, you know, if it's a run, they keep that back foot up a little bit so they can get ready to get down and come out to you. So those are, like, little keys that I look at to know if it's a first down pass or not and stuff like that, because they do a lot of play action. Especially if the tackle oversets you, you most definitely know it's going to be play action pass because he normally doesn't come out at you like that as well. And then on third down, they have they're in their stance, foot all the way back. Guards are up. Guards not in three-point stance. So that's just kind of the difference, how I know whether it's going to be a pass on first down or a pass on third down.
When did you learn all of that stuff? Is that something you knew in college or got to the league and kind of figured it out?
Those little things that I took into going into this year of diving deeper into film, knowing more about ball, knowing more about my opponent, how can I help benefit the team in a better way of knowing this stuff and staying on top of my job.
Love to hear that.
You mentioned the tackles. They finally cracked down on the tackles lining up 7 yards back this year. How nice is that for you? They're finally calling that.
Yeah, it's really nice, man. It's really nice. I'm like, dang, they all the way back there. But, man, you just got to play ball at this point. Like, that's like me. Like, I never really was like – you know, you get frustrated about it, but at the end of the day, you just got to go out there and be yourself and have fun with it and be like, it is what it is. It's part of the game, man. You know, just keep rolling.
Will Andrews is with us. Thanks to the folks at Jif. We're going to talk peanut butter in a minute. Don't worry. I'm excited to talk peanut butter with you. You were in college in a fascinating time. You got both the COVID, the NIL, everything changed. Can you maybe reflect back on just how everything changed during your time there and what it's like now as opposed to when you arrived?
Well, yeah, it's kind of different now. It's way different. Like, you didn't have guys leaving for money and stuff like that when I was in college. You didn't have guys, you know, jumping in the transfer portal just because they wasn't getting paid and leaving to take this deal. Like, you had guys that was committed to their brothers. You had guys that was committed to winning a national championship game, no matter what was that cost, knowing that the greater prize was going to be the NFL, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, my whole thing is, this is not a knock, though. Guys, you know, get to take care of their family at an early age. And we go out there putting a lot of hard work, you know what I'm saying, also, too. So I also see both sides of it. Like, we out there, blood, sweat, and tears for these universities and stuff like that. And we deserve something, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I'm happy that the younger generation, they get to be a part of something like that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Follow up on that. What did you think of the 12-team college football playoffs this year?
I wasn't a big fan of it.
Well, they left one team out,
Alabama. I wasn't a big fan of it. It has to be the best of the best. It has to. What did y'all think about it? Did y'all like how it was? Did y'all like seeing some of those teams play?
It's more football. I enjoy watching football, so I feel like I shouldn't complain about more football. But the bracketing, the seeding, it didn't feel like we got the 12 best going.
And I think that's what has to get changed. Like, I think it goes by strength of schedule.
Okay.
I think it goes in the SEC. You are playing some of the best guys. If you really think about it, until we got towards the end, most of those guys in the SEC were in the top 25.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're playing top 25 teams every week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's hard to leave out those guys.
So then how do you look at the ACC? We cover the ACC in Richmond.
If they're good enough, they can make it.
I feel like if they're good enough, I mean.
Have you ever gotten scared going up against one ACC school your entire career?
Never.
I feel like they left out the good ACC team, Cam Ward in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ended up
and
with
that. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
It's a difference between who has the best schedule and who are the best teams.
Yes.
Fans want to see the best team. Fans would have loved to see an Alabama versus a Miami team. They would have loved to see a Miami versus a Georgia or a Texas versus a Miami team. Like, those are the games that's thrilling that people want to see. You know what I'm saying? There's no knock to any other team because, you know, they work hard too. Those young guys, they deserve a shot too. But if you want the best, you got to go get the best games.
We had Brian Anderson Jr. on. B-Rob, Brian Robinson. You're Anderson.
Yeah.
B-Rob, Brian Robinson Jr., two juniors. Did you guys know each other well?
He was over there, and I went up there and got behind him and started joking with him. Man, he's fantastic. I played with him at Alabama, man. He's a good dude, man, great player. He's funny, man, low-key, and he's causing havoc in the league right now. I can't wait to keep seeing what he's doing.
We had to crank his mic way up so we could hear him.
He's probably just like, yeah, man, I'm just –
That's a great impression right there.
That's awesome. Man,
what'd you think of Washington this season?
Man, I thought the world of them, man. They're a great, great, great team.
Jaden Daniels,
man. He's a special young guy. He's going to do great things in this league. I can't wait to see what they continue to do, man. You know, they have a really young team over there. Dan Quinn, he's an awesome head coach. He's leading those guys the right way. So they're going to continue to do good things in this league.
Dan Quinn's a defensive guy. You got one of the great defensive coaches in the league. What's that like to work with D'Amico? How does that make you better?
Man, I love it, man. The thing I appreciate about D'Amico so much, man, is he's just truthful, man. But he also brings so much energy and so much swag and so much confidence to his players. Like, bro, I believe in you, bro. You ain't got to worry about nothing else, big dog. Like, this is the words he says.
Yeah.
Like, just go out there and play, bro. Like, I got your back. Like, I'm behind you. And, like, when you hear a coach say that to you, man, it just, like, take off everything that you could be going through or what you could be feeling, man. Like, my head coach is right behind me, man. Like, I can go out there and just go ball and not think about nothing, man. Like, he just brings so much confidence into his players, man, and it just shows up on Sundays.
That's awesome. Will Anderson Jr. is here with us from Houston Texans, and you're here with Jif Peanut Butter.
Yeah.
Are you a big peanut butter guy? How'd this come about? Yeah.
Explain how you make your PB&J. Like, what kind of bread do you use?
We got to break down the tape here.
So before, when I was younger, I used white bread always. But when I was younger, I used to do one bread with jelly, one bread with peanut butter thingy. But now I do white bread, toast it just a little bit with some butter, get a bowl, put the jelly, put the peanut butter, this the key, add some honey, mix it around, put it on there.
He's an innovator.
Oh, wow.
He's an innovator.
So you're making your own concoction and then sliding that with a knife onto the – wow.
Do you weigh in on the creamy versus crunchy debate?
Oh, creamy. Creamy.
There, you're welcome here anytime. Yeah.
No crunchy, man. I love Jif, though.
What's your vibe on the big game on Sunday? Would you be completely against Kansas City getting the three-peat?
Bro, I don't hate Kansas City. Like, I'm not against Kansas City, man. This is what we all dream of as little kids, going into the NFL, playing in the Super Bowl. It's two really great teams. Eagles have a great team, and I'm looking more at it from the trenches. They have a really good defensive line. They have a really good offensive line. I know all those guys from Georgia that's on the Eagles right now, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, like all those guys, and they wreak havoc up front. They make it really hard for teams, and I know the Chiefs have a really good O-line, so I'm just going to be looking at that battle right there.
Awesome. Will Anderson Jr., thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you.
Coming here. Thanks to good
really
folks.
Really appreciate it, man.
Peanut
thank
butter.
You.
Leave some peanut butter behind. We appreciate that. Send us to break, Adam.
You're listening to 910 The Fan now.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, and we thank our friends at Bud Light for making Bud Light Big Game Week happen last week. Saints are going to hire Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, who at one point was considered the favorite to be the next Cowboys coach. So that will be fascinating to watch that play out, especially in light of, the NFC East is, I don't think I've ever seen it this much. Half the team so good, half the team so bad. Now it's the NFC East, you never know. And there's talent there. Dak has talent. And you're all in with Dak, obviously, with Brian Schottenheimer, who I don't think is a good coaching hire at all. The Giants just getting clowned on national TV last night as Saquon runs all over the Chiefs. I disagreed with the MVP pick of Jalen Hurts. I thought you had to go sweat. I thought you had to go defense there. To me, the story of this game was the Philadelphia Eagles defense shutting down Patrick Mahomes. And that is not to take anything away from Saquon or Jalen Hurts. But man, you know, if they score that many points, but the Chiefs offense is rolling, it's a shootout, it's a different game. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. But for them to hold the Chiefs to less than 30 yards of offense in an entire first half of the Super Bowl, I thought that was the most impressive thing. I know it's hard to give an MVP to a defensive guy, especially on a night where there wasn't anybody with three interceptions, four sacks, you know, one of those jaw-dropper stat lines. But if I had a vote, and they didn't ask me, they don't ask me, I didn't have a vote, I would have turned in my card for the defensive line. If you want to know how to clear out a party quickly, invite a bunch of friends over to come watch the game with you as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. That was deflating early, deflating in the middle, and pretty deflating late. I never know what everybody else's experiences are. Did you stick with that to the end? I get the sense a lot of people did not. This will probably be, they were talking about, will this be the highest rated Super Bowl ever? Which they say every year, because every year it seems to get bigger and bigger somehow. I think the answer is a pretty emphatic no. This will not be the highest rated Super Bowl ever, because I think a lot of people checked out of this one early in the second half. Made it to Kendrick, made it to the beef. Made it to, Samuel L. Jackson as Uncle Sam, and then called it a day right there, because there was not much to see on the other side. My thing is always in a football game, right? If you can score that many points in one half, the other team can score that many in the other half. But it became apparent pretty quickly. These guys had figured Patrick Mahomes out, running that quarters defense, four defensive backs back. So they had great coverage back. What you have to do when you send that many guys back is get pressure. And they got pressure with just a four-man rush. I'm reminded of, that's the Tampa Super Bowl story. When Brady beat Mahomes, offensive line let him down then too. And he was feeling it. He was getting skittish as he was last night. Remember after that game, Brett Veach, he's the Kansas City general manager, who's done a great job building that team, went down in the locker room grab Patrick Mahomes, promises, he said, trust me, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get you a better offensive line. And they did, of course, and the rest is NFL history in the back-to-back Super Bowls. But clearly a need again, as the Eagles expose the weakness of that Chiefs offensive line. And it's hard. It's hard when you're good and you've got so much money committed to other guys, to your Chris Joneses, to your Patrick Mahomeses. When you've got that much money committed to stars across the board, it's hard to build a good offensive line. Those guys don't come to free agency if they're good. They stay with their teams, and they don't make it to pick 31 in the draft, which would be the number the Chiefs turn in at. That's, you know, certainly a concern of mine with the Commanders, who desperately need some offensive line depth, and we saw that. You know, a credit to the Eagles for a couple dominant playoff wins against Washington and Kansas City back-to-back there, in both times showing if you can't win in the trenches, you can't win in January and February in the NFL. That is where these games are won. That is how you build a roster to win them. Now, Philly's good in a lot of other areas, too. You saw that last night. But if you can't get the blocking and the tackling right, the basic stuff up front, you're not going to stand a chance, even if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, even if you're Patrick Mahomes. That's what concerns me at the Commanders. Now, the Chiefs are in that spot, too. They're picking at 31. This is an Adam Peters show now. Can you get a quality offensive lineman at 29? Can you get a quality tight end at 29? Those are the two positions I would like to see them turn the card in for when they draft. If you want to lobby for defense, that's fine. I'll nod along. They got plenty of needs, but man, you saw yesterday Patrick Mahomes without that offensive line, he looked human, and he made a couple really bad forced throws as a result. You got to protect Jaden Daniels, especially in a year two where teams are going to throw even more at him, be even a little more aware and astute of what's going to bring him down. So I think that's a big storyline I'm looking at as this offseason rolls on for sure. Beyond that, just not a ton to say about this one, which, I think this Super Bowl faded from the public consciousness pretty quickly. I don't think any element of it was, outrageous or, noteworthy particularly. Philly will celebrate in the days to come. Stay safe. Grease up the poles. They're coming to Broad Street. They're going to do a parade. They deserve it. The best team in the NFL this year won the championship. I feel pretty confident in saying that. Also, I think it's a little crazy that this is the fan base that wanted Nick Sirianni run out of town for most of last year and the first part of this year. And there was a dysfunctional team last year in an environment that breeds dysfunction. So for Nick Sirianni to overcome that, to now make two Super Bowls, win one Super Bowl, certainly establishes himself as a great young coach. It's Philly, though. They're going to fire him in the next 3 years. It's what they do. They are chronically incapable of having and sustaining success. But man, that is a well-run team. They draft well. They fix their weaknesses. I just look at this Bradberry to Gene draft, back-to-back drafts. Quinion Mitchell. Man, they have been bringing in some guys there at what was a weakness for them and became a very important position for them and a way they shut guys out. Right, Terry McLaurin, what do we call him, the Eagles killer? He was so good against the Eagles every game. They go out, they make these moves. Now, all of a sudden, you don't hear as much from Terry McLaurin anymore. Emulate the Eagles the way they build their rosters. Don't emulate their fans. They are not worthy of emulation. Now, congrats to the Eagles fans out there. Very nice Super Bowl win and setting up a little rivalry here because they're not going anywhere. And Washington's going to try to not go anywhere. So you've certainly got your marquee matchup here in the NFC East coming into next year. And I'll be very curious if that's the opener, little Commanders-Eagles rematch next year when they raise the banner at the link. Those are the kinds of games we're going to be watching, we're going to be playing in. Biggest sports event of the week, as far as I'm concerned, locally, VCU taking care of business late against Dayton, down 5. Max Shulga steps up. Zeb Jackson hits some free throws. Everything we didn't see in Charleston when they, when they squandered their chances to get on the national radar early, they showed it all. In Dayton, in a hostile environment, against a Flyers team that's playing its way out of the tournament. By the way, it's a one-bid league right now, and that one is VCU. We'll go up to D.C. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, you never know what happens in 3 days of basketball. But this, if VCU wins, this could absolutely be a one-bid league. I'm not here for the Big East talk yet. I know everybody wants to fire back up that bandwagon. We're too good for this place. No, we're not yet. But it's been a very good month. A lot of successful basketball. Got to back it up now. Certainly opportunities coming here to slip on the banana peel. So it's important to back it up in these coming days. You're up at George Washington Wednesday. You can lose that game. But then next week hosting UMass, I can't lose that game. That'll be a must win. At Richmond, it'll be a must win. Davidson, Duquesne. So you're dividing this into the games you got to take care of business in and the games you can lose. You're at George Washington, you're home against George Mason, and you're home against Dayton. You can't lose all three of those, obviously, but there's margin for error, which we don't say a whole lot about this team. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We'll send you off to 3 hours of AWOD radio. Grant and Danny will drive you home. Super Bowl's over. Time to turn the page, folks. It's Monday morning on 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM. Welcome in on a Monday morning. Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champs. VCU taking care of business against Dayton on its path to an NCAA tournament appearance. Last week, we chatted with our guy, Matt Paris, who covers the Saints, who are about to hire Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. We did not have time to play that interview for you during the week, so we bring it to you right now. Here's Matt Paris.
Bud Light Big Game Week rolls on. We weren't going to go all week without having this guy on. Matt Paris from the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Did I say that correctly?
I think so, yeah. The A is...
I think so. I am here to ask you the important questions. Number one, what's a Picayune?
It is a town in Louisiana.
Okay,
excellent. Also a town, but I don't know in this context.
So. Okay, Matt, you covered the Commanders / football team / Redskins forever. And now you're here covering the Saints. What's it like to watch Washington be good from afar?
It is.
Because it's disorienting.
It's very disorienting seeing Jaden Daniels in person when they played here. He was maybe the best quarterback I've ever seen in person.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
And to think, a Spencer Rattler 2-point conversion, and we're maybe not talking about any of this.
Right. No, I mean, six.
They're the 7th seed. They go to Philly, and that's that out of the gate if it plays out the way it played out up there in Philly.
It does, but even if they were the 7th seed, like, that's a great season. That you lose in the first round, like, everyone's feeling good. Like,
no question.
That says more about the gap between those two teams rather than...
I worry about they were 60 minutes from the Super Bowl, therefore they're good. Because they're not. They have a lot of holes. And a quarterback who covers over all of them. Not that I would trade it in. It was a fun ride. But I worry that people, you got to run it back with the safeties, like the Chin and Luvu, man. They got that your Chin and, Martin. Yeah. They got you the NFC title game. I don't think you run it back with those guys. I think you upgrade, So I think that's big on my radar.
Well, that was the big thing about the flexibility that Adam Peters had was that a lot of these guys were on one-year deals.
Yes.
And so you could pivot. I mean, he thought he'd have to pivot because they were going to be bad, but it turns out you can pivot because they're good. Which,
exactly.
I mean, I do think there's some areas. I think they're okay at safety. Linebackers, I mean, Luvu's still under contract. I'd bring back Bobby Wagner if possible, but... Yeah, I mean, they have some work to do still, particularly at receiver, cornerback. We can talk about Marshawn Lattimore here in a second if you want.
Yeah, of course. Well, you're still breaking it down. I love it.
Yes.
You're covering the Eagles this week.
Yes.
Because you're covering the presumed next coach of the Saints. Is that kind of where we're all at here with Kellen Moore?
Yeah, all signs point to him. Okay. As long as he wants the job. They've had a few candidates drop out. But it seems like...
Did McCarthy drop out?
He did, but we don't know if it was one of those, I'm dropping out because I can tell it's Kellen Moore, or I'm dropping out because, hey, you're not meeting my demands.
Is that a hot take of me to say I'm glad you didn't hire him?
Uh, I think Saints fans talk themselves into it. And, I mean, where they're at, they're facing a challenging situation. I think he would have provided a floor of competency for them, which is never a bad thing.
I was once told Ron Rivera would provide that floor of competency, too. So you should be careful what you wish for. Yeah. That. All right, you've been down here for a little while. Give me the cliff notes on New Orleans. What do we need to do this week? What do we need to make sure to make happen?
Well, I asked you if you were doing a Café du Monde bit earlier yesterday, and you said, "Oh, I've done that 1,000 times." So apparently, just get that at the airport, according to Michael Phillips. besides that, I mean, walking around the French Quarter is fun. Do Bourbon Street, like walk down there at least once if you haven't.
Grant Paulson dragged me down there.
Yeah, it's fine.
We finished dinner. Grant Paulson said, "I really want to walk Bourbon Street." And I said, "How really?" He said, "Yeah. I'll do it with you."
I mean, truthfully, you should just stay the next few weeks and experience Mardi Gras because that is the best the city has to offer. It's so much fun.
I would love to come down for a Mardi Gras because it's not one day either.
Oh, no. It's like consecutive weekends.
That's insane.
Mardi Gras day, like, is Fat Tuesday, but in the lead up to it, there are different parades. And, like, I'm flying home from the combine early so I can get back for, like, the Saturday parades.
Heck yeah. As you should. What pick do the Saints have?
The ninth.
Nine. And what are we? Needs here.
I saw on ESPN Jordan Reed had their needs as everything. So good place to start.
But you're running it back with Carr, right?
Maybe.
Can you get out of the can they get out of the contract?
Well, they can get out of it for having a $50 million debt hit, which they still might do.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
That's the Russell Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's just better to eat the money, even if it doesn't really save you anything.
Sure.
Just get it off your books and move forward next year.
You're an NBA guy, too.
I am, yeah.
Where are we at on this trade?
KJ Martin to the Pistons one?
Obviously, the Wizards.
I thought you meant the Luka trade.
The Luka trade, yeah.
All right, we can talk Kuzma.
We can't. I actually can't. No.
Yes. Kyle Kuzma was a forward for the Washington Wizards.
Stop. I need to write this down. Hang on. You have to talk slower.
I was very surprised. I called Ben Standing, our friend,
Ben knows the NBA.
Yes, to make sure that he was awake, and he was. So it's about 1:30 his time. So,
what's your explanation on why the Mavs did what they did? What's your best theory?
Seems like, well, one, it's insane. No matter what, it seems like they couldn't stand him being perhaps out of shape and being difficult to deal with. But hey, I'm out of shape too, and I'm not putting up 30, 16, and.
All right, you're right, it's insane no matter what. If he's all those things, don't you shop him, though?
Yes, exactly.
You shop him, right?
Yeah, no, I mean.
You got all these other general managers coming out of the woodwork, like, nobody told us about this. Like, you could have really done something here.
It would be, the Lakers have sort of this excellence around them where they just, things fall into their lap, like, left and right. And, I mean, the Cowboys being America's team, like, they need that. That doesn't happen to them. Like, yes,
no.
Sure, like, maybe Derrick Henry wanted to play for the Cowboys, but, like, the Ravens aren't calling them up and being like, here, have Derrick Henry for free.
To be set for the next decade post-LeBron, too, what a smooth handoff for them. Because you were looking at, like, the Brady-style cliff, right? Like, Tampa's good, but they're never going to win the Super Bowl post-Brady until they fully do their cycle.
Right.
You were looking at that with the Lakers and LeBron, you know, and AD. They're going to fall off that. Now you don't fall off the cliff.
Right. No, I mean.
Yeah.
Now, the thing with the Lakers is Luka can become a free agent in the summer of 2026.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to re-sign with them. So they have like a year and a half here to be like, hey, we're a competent franchise.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's the Lakers and that'll happen.
Well, I'll put in a good word with Magic Johnson then. He's hanging around a lot more these days now. Matt Paris joins us from the New Orleans Times-Picayune, covers the Saints. Down here covered Washington for the Washington Times forever. Did a very nice job of that. Did too nice of a job.
Your former intern.
Former intern at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and then I repaid the favor because after you left, I was the interim.
The interim me. Yeah,
I was the interim you for a couple months, and every time I filed, dang it, why can't you be more like Paris? And they rip up the copy right in front of me and throw it back at me. It was a very demoralizing experience. From an NFC or NFC South perspective, are any of these teams going to get good anytime soon?
No.
Where would you put the chips next year?
Oh, God, I don't.
Because it feels like Tampa can win 9 for as long as they want to.
Yeah,
but
feels like
that's not inspiring.
I mean, do you believe Bryce Young is real? Like,
I believe that owner is the new Snyder.
Yeah.
Tepper is the new Snyder, and what I know is those owners don't win.
I mean, Michael Penix is fine. He had a really nice stretch there, but you're still betting.
That's a decision.
Yeah.
I think you bring Kirk back for another year. I really do.
Well, he's under contract.
I think you bring him back.
You would reinstall him as the starter. I think that ship has sailed.
I think you hope that it was the Achilles, and with a full offseason, he's better. Yeah, I think that's what you do. That said, there's no good answers here because the cut, the trade mess you up for next year. And then if Penix isn't that, you're rebooting it anyway. So it's a bit of a situation. Matt Paris, Washington Times to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, with a stop at the Richmond Times-Dispatch as our summer intern that one year. Anything you want to plug here? We let people plug things.
Well, you can pick up a wonderful copy of the Times-Picayune on Sunday where we'll have a 33-page Super Ooh. Bowl specials action.
You better get working.
Yeah. My deadlines were today for that, so.
What's the coolest thing you've seen this week so far?
I don't know about cool, but I was very amused by the bit of Guillermo from Jimmy Kimmel going up to old friend Carson Wentz and asking him to throw powderless beignets into his mouth.
That's the good stuff.
And Carson was a little bit of a germaphobe, asked if people had touched the beignets. Guillermo said no, agreed to do it reluctantly. And when he started throwing them, Guillermo asked him to throw it like a football. And he was like, and then his accuracy got worse. Which, yeah, he's just hitting me. That's very on brand.
That's great. He does good bits. Yeah. I like that. Matt Paris, thank you for joining us. But like, big game week rolls on after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.